The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. Did I say evening or did I say afternoon, Mike? I did? Let's do that again. Oh, it's already gone out at 186,000 miles an hour. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. This is the National Intel Report. Good evening. It is the 14th day of December, 2017. You know what? I haven't thought a doggone thing about Christmas. Really haven't. And New Year's, I'm still trying to party like it's 1999. Quit laughing at me, Julie. You're getting old, too. At any rate, there is an interesting take on this. Mike Adams over at Natural News is talking about evidence is pointing to Bitcoin being an NSA-engineered psyop to roll out a one-world digital currency. Now, without getting into all the conspiratorial minutiae of all this, you know, I don't think anybody still knows who did Bitcoin originally, or people claim that they know, but it's never been, yeah, in an absolute, this is the person that did Bitcoin. But, you know, I take everything that I see, and I consider it, and then I do the Occam razor thing. There's a lot of times that people will overthink and outthink themselves by adding in this and that, and you know, sometimes it is what it is. He says that I'm going to assume that the readers who make it to this article are well-informed enough that I don't have to go into the history of the global money changers and their desire for a one-world currency. If you don't yet understand the goal of the globalist banking empire and coming engineered collapse of the fiat currency system, you're about 5,000 posts behind the curve. Now, with that as a starting point, it's now becoming increasingly evident that Bitcoin may be a creation of the National Security Agency and was rolled out as a normalization experiment to get the public familiar with digital currency. Once this is established, the world's fiat currencies will be obliterated in an engineered debt collapse, then replaced with a government-approved cryptocurrency with tracking of all transactions and digital wallets by the world's Western governments. And you do know the government, folks. They don't like secrecy, unless they're the ones that are keeping things secret. What evidence supports this notion? First, take a look at this document entitled How to Make a Mint, the Cryptography of Anonymous Electronic Cash. This document, released in 1997, yeah, 20 years ago, detailed the overall structure and function of Bitcoin cryptocurrency. Who authored the document? Try not to be shocked when you learn it was authored by a mathematical cryptographers at the National Security Agency's Office of Information Security Research and Technology. The NSA, in other words, detailed key elements of Bitcoin long before it became came into existence. Much of the Bitcoin protocol is detailed in this document, including signature authentication techniques, eliminating crypto coin counterfeits through transaction authentication, and several features that support anonymity and untraceability of the transactions themselves. The document even outlines the heightened risk of money laundering that's easily accomplished with cryptocurrencies. It also describes secure hashing to be both one-way and collision-free. Although Bitcoin adds mining and a shared peer-to-peer blockchain transaction authentication system to this structure, it's clear that the NSA was researching cryptocurrencies long before everyday users had ever even heard the term. Now, note, too, that the name of the person credited with founding Bitcoin is Satoshi Nakamoto, who is reputed to have reserved 1 million bitcoins for himself. Millions of posts and online threads discuss the possible identity of Satoshi Nakamoto, and some posts even claim the NSA has identified this guy. However, another likely explanation is that Nakamoto is the NSA, which means that either working for the NSA is a sock puppet character created by the NSA for the purpose of this whole grand experiment. On top of that fact, the NSA authored a technical paper on cryptocurrency long before the arrival of Bitcoin. The agency is also the creator of the SHA-256 hash, upon which every Bitcoin transaction in the world depends. As the Hacker News explains, quoting them, the integrity of Bitcoin depends on a hash function called SHA-256, which was designed by the NSA and published by the National Institute for Standards and Technology. Matthew D. Green of Johns Hopkins said, if you assume that the NSA did something to SHA-256, which no outside researcher has detected, what you get is the ability, with credible and detectable action, that they would be able to forge transactions. Now, the really scary thing is somebody finds a way to find collisions in SHA-256 really fast without brute forcing it or using lots of hardware, and then they take control of the network. By the way, Green is a researcher over at Hopkins. In other words, if the SHA-256 hash, which was created by the NSA, actually has a backdoor method for cracking the encryption, it would mean the NSA could steal everybody's Bitcoin whenever it wants. Now, that same article written by Mohit Kumar mysteriously concludes, even today it's too early to come to the conclusions about Bitcoin. Possibly it was designed from day one as a tool to help maintain control of the money supplies of the world. And with that statement, Kumar has indeed stumbled upon a bigger goal in all this, to seize control over the world's money supply as the fiat currency system crumbles and is replaced with a one-world digital currency controlled by globalists. Now, let me stop and digress here for a second, because I have watched the banks. I have watched the banks and what they're gearing themselves toward. And the only thing that it spells to me is the elimination of cash. Money, as people, most people call it. And, you know, to the degree that they're actually, rather, that what the banks, at least my bank, used to do, and I don't know what they were doing personnel-wise in your corner of the globe, but used to have people that were tellers for drive-thru, and then you had the inside tellers. Now, never the twain shall meet. Number one, it's a lot of miles walking back and forth trying to service two of them. It gets slow, it's cumbersome, you got people waiting in line, and it's not a good idea. Now, it's a good idea for the cheap bankers because they get to cut down on payroll, and if they pay any benefits or insurances, it just limits their liability. Let's just put it that way. So, what I noticed is they stopped giving bonuses to bank managers. And it was always a big deal with the bank to get depositors. Remember the days? They'd give you a toaster or a blender or an iron or something. Open up an account with XYZ Bank and get a free gift, And everybody thought that was peachy keen Reno. Well, people were competing, or at least the banks were, for depositors. Well, about a year, year and a half ago, it's been at least a year and a half ago, I would say, they stopped paying bonuses to having people sign up for an account in your bank. And instead, they started to give a smaller bonus if you can get the people over to the ATMs. See, if you get them over to the ATMs for their depositing and all that other stuff, cash withdrawals, that's a lot of transactions the banks usually do in that genre every single day. So keeping that in mind, you know, I mean, what do we need this crap for anymore? Don't you have the plastic? Don't you have the debit card? Don't you have a credit card? Don't you have your passcodes and your passwords and you can get online to your bank account? I mean, think about this, folks. So, you know, we've seen it over the years. Federal Reserve, Emergency Banking Act of 1913. Oh, we got to come in and save the banks from whom? But they managed to wheedle their way in to become the middleman for the banking system. And by the way, the keen interest that they had was just that, interest. You get to pay a tax on using their stuff. Stands to reason. So what did they do in 1971? They closed the gold window. What did that do with money? They had already eliminated by 1965 any silver content in our coins. You know, and most people today, oh yeah, I remember money like that. Yeah, when I was a kid. But they just don't make the connection. Just because a generation has passed or three or four decades has passed in your life, it doesn't make history go away. The thing is, you just forgot about it. So, 71 rolls around. By the way, we got a nifty little thing, this old plastic thing called MasterCharge. That was called MasterCharge at first. And of course, they had to change that because doesn't it just sound so much better? MasterCard. But this was the introduction to personal accounts for individuals. And weren't they just handy? You know, if you didn't forget your wallet, guys, you know, yeah, but you didn't have to keep cash in there. You know, I mean, how bothersome is that? So we just kept whipping out this plastic for charging purposes, and then they come up with the second installment of this, debit cards. See, I mean, you can have money in a bank. It spends just like cash. You got a little card. And look at all these retailers around the world. For how many years was Visa telling you, we're everywhere? Yeah, I know you were. And isn't this convenient? And if somebody steals your card, it's not like they stole your cash. Because you can't get your cash back. How we used to do that before was money orders. Or traveler's checks. Oh, yes. So this has been an evolution. Bringing us to this day, which, folks, I'm telling you, I never liked the idea of Bitcoin or one currency or anybody else that's popped up on this planet with a cryptocurrency. You know, because number one, I mean, why would anybody pay you an ungodly amount of money? What is Bitcoin up today, Mike? 10,000, 11,000, whatever. I don't know what it sold for originally, but people are going, oh, this is a great investment. Investment? I'm sorry? 16,500. Wow. I bet that made a lot of people happy. What are you going to do with it? I remember the day a guy called in, yeah, I'll make a donation. You take Bitcoin? No, I don't. Well, you should. Well, I don't want to. Well, why don't you just convert the Bitcoin into FRNs and send me the FRNs? Still didn't do it. Just wanted to rag me, and I'm sure brag me about the Bitcoin, but at any rate. So there's been this move. You know, for years I asked the question, you know, what's plan B for the bankers? You know, I mean, there's too much at stake not to have a workable plan B, and maybe even a plan C if B goes sideways. But if you think about it, in the evolution of this, This makes one hell of a lot of sense. Now you don't even have to think about that money. Nasty stuff. I mean, everybody handles it. It's all germ-ridden. Every time you get pulled over by the cops, they send a canine to give a false, and then they're in your wallet smelling a $20 bill that some cokehead a week ago snorted up lines with. And it's not a joke, folks. That has happened many, 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 many times to people. So, at any rate, here we are. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, what an inducement. How many people in this listening audience are going, you know, maybe I should have did the Bitcoin thing. Many of you in this audience did the Bitcoin thing. Now, is there a little bonus going on here? Yeah, what did Bitcoin originally sell for, Mike? I don't even know. I'm sorry, yeah, nothing. $0.08 in July of 2010, and it's worth 16,000 supposedly U.S. dollars or the equivalent. Eight one hundredths of a cent. And went to 8 cents in 5 days. Okay. So, what an inducement to get you cranking with this cryptocurrency to reward you so nicely. And for what? I still don't understand. In this cryptocurrency, 0.08 cents and then goes to, yeah. Where is this stuff coming from? Where is the supposed value of this really coming from? So what a better way to induce people, get everybody geared up with cryptocurrencies. Oh, look, it's better than that fiat stuff that's collapsing. Okay. I'm kind of old school. Old school to the tune of 6,000 years. The gold and silver was used. For what? Exchange of services and goods. In other words, the original money. Now, lest you think that the cryptography of cryptocurrency is secure and bulletproof, Hacker News put out a story. Researchers crack 1024-bit RSA encryption in GNUPG crypto library, which stated, I don't know what all that meant, the attack allows an attacker to extract the secret crypto key from a system by analyzing the pattern of memory utilization or the electromagnetic outputs of the device that are emitted during the decryption process. Now, this is the 1024-bit encryption system. The same technique is also said to be available to crack 48-bit encryption. In fact, encryption layers are cracked on a daily basis by clever hackers. Some of those encryption layers are powerful. Various cryptocurrencies right now are powering various cryptocurrencies right now. Unless you are an extremely high-level mathematician, there's no way you can know for sure whether any cryptocurrency is truly non-hackable. Now, in fact, every cryptocurrency becomes obsolete with the invention of a large-scale quantum computing. Once China manages to build a working 256-bit quantum computer, it can effectively steal all the bitcoins in the world, plus steal most national secrets and commit other global mayhem at will. Now, in summary, here's one possible plan by the globalists to seize control, total control, over the world's money supply, savings, taxation, financial transactions while enslaving humanity. Now think about this, folks. This thing goes all digital. Do you really think the government is not going to regulate it and control it and be able to look at it? The answer to that is if you think they won't, I want some of the stuff you've been drinking or smoking. Once you go with a digital system, you can extract the taxes, you can keep the government. I mean, computers would be doing this, right? All that labor, all those human beings chasing around all these records and all these figures. Well, it can be computerized, and everything can be taken out of your check, if that's even what they're going to call it from now on.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel: great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer: it works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
When the fiat system that they created collapses, what's the new plan? I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The bankers are not without a plan. In summary, here's one possible plan by the globalists to seize total control over the world's money supply, savings, taxation, financial transaction, while really enslaving humanity. Roll out the NSA-created Bitcoin to get the public excited about a digital currency. Quietly prepare a globalist-controlled cryptocurrency to take its place. JP Morgan, anybody? Initiate a massive global-scale false flag operation that crashes the global debt markets and sends the fiat currencies down in flames. They don't have to create a false flag, folks. The system is going to crash because it's in its very nature to devalue and crash. And of all the funny money systems that have ever been created, guess who holds the record of the longest lasting fiat currency? If you guessed the United States, you were right. None other have ever lasted more than 100 years. They self-destruct, they devalue to zero. Initiate a massive global scale false flag, okay, hoax alien invasion, hoax North Korean EMP, it's the dominoes. Once they start falling, it'll all collapse. Blame whatever convenient enemy is politically acceptable. Green men, Russians, who cares? Allow the fiat currency debt pyramid to collapse and smolder until the sheeple get desperate. Kind of like the Venezuelan-style desperation with people eating out of dumpsters. With great fanfare, announce a government-backed cryptocurrency replacement for all fiat currencies. And position world governments as savior of humanity. Allow the desperate public to trade in their first or their fiat currencies for official cryptocurrencies. You know, you're hearing, oh, well, China's got its own cryptocurrency and it's backing it by gold. Folks, think about this. Gold right now, to make up for the devaluation of the dollar, would be selling for about $8,500. Should be. That should be the asking price for a lousy ounce of gold. $8,500. So when the system collapses, the fiat system collapses, what's the digital whatever going to be valued at? Now keep in mind, there is nothing physical about any of this. You don't have it in your hand. You can't stack it up in front of you. You can't put it under your mattress. You can't put it in a safe. It's virtual. And what is the new currency going to be valued at? Now, do you think they're going to inflate that to match the inflated currency this is set to replace? This is why for so many years we've urged people, and I don't give a damn what technological age we're right in the middle of or who we think we are, you know, the great thinkers and creators that we are. The human race has created more BS than it has actual good things. But we have a tendency to cleave to the good and let the bad go, or at least try to forget about it. Outlaw cash and criminalize gold and silver ownership by private citizens, all in the name of security, of course, you know. Can't have any of that black market stuff. Look how many tax dollars are being, you know, evaded. You know, we got people hanging behind buildings, giving each other silver and gold for services and goods. Oh, my God, it's going to be a black market hellhole. Well, it's out from under the purview of the government. That's how I read that. Criminalize all non-official cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, crashing their value virtually overnight and funneling everybody into one world government crypto, where the NSA controls the blockchain. Now, this can easily be achieved by blaming the false flag, or even, let's stop talking false flag, the damn thing's just going to collapse anyhow. Require embedded RFID or biometric identifiers for all transactions in order to authenticate the one world digital cryptocurrency activities. And what do we have then? Mark of the Beast becomes reality. No one is allowed to eat, travel, or earn a wage without being marked. And folks, I'm here to tell you, 25 years ago, it's almost been that long, I saw Al Gore, I saw Lloyd Bentsen, he was a Treasury Secretary, Janet Reno was there, and they're doing this afternoon press conference. And they're talking about security at government-funded housing. And, you know, they use Chicago as an example. You know, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of crime. So, you know, we really got to, you know, make those places safe. And they started talking about replacing light bulbs, burned-out light bulbs, in the hallways and the stairwells of government-funded housing. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, really? Well, then it started to roll around. Well, and we understand there's a lot of guns and drugs around the neighborhoods surrounding public housing. So we're considering doing block-to-block searches and seizures for illegal guns and drugs. I about fell off my chair. I'll give you the other part of the story. I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it for myself.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are back. Now, once absolute control over the new one world digital currency is achieved, weaponize the government track blockchain to track all transactions, investments, commercial activities. What do they do now, folks? Think about this. Confiscate a portion of all crypto under the guise of automated taxation. In an emergency, the government can even announce negative interest rates, where your holdings automatically decrease every day. Like they already have been. Now, with all of this stuff accomplished, globalists can now roll out absolute totalitarian control over every aspect of private lives by enforcing financial blackouts for those individuals who maybe criticize the government. They can put in place automatic deductions for traffic violations, vehicle license plate taxes, internet taxes, and 1,000 other oppressive taxes invented by the bureaucracy. With automatic deductions run by the government, citizens have no means to halt the endless confiscation of their quote-unquote money. Now, if you think about this, a lot of people still get paid by check. How many years ago did they opt just for a direct deposit? And guess what? your company wasn't sending a check to the bank, and they were looking at it, and they put their little Domini on it, stamp, and then credit your account. That was done digitally. Now, do you think that the government is going to allow an unregulated currency out there because more people are going to Bitcoin, aren't they? Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look what it's worth. You still have your taxes taken out of your check. Your Social Security, your FICA, this tax, that tax. Tax, 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 tax. So do you really think the government is going to allow a cryptocurrency to go on and they can't track and trace it? They don't have direct access to it? You had better think again. By the way, the one thing that I noticed that nobody talked about with Donald Trump's new tax plan. Oh, well, if you're going to get $2,000 for this and you get a deduction for that. And deduction how? If you file with the Internal Revenue Service, that's how. Now, more than half of this country right now, guess what they don't do? They don't pay anything into the IRS for a sundry different reasons. Jim in Kansas. Hello, Jim.
What should the price of silver be if it has kept up with inflation using that same formula where you came up with that $8,500 per ounce for gold?
$200-$300 an ounce?
You know the formula that they used to come up with that $8,500?
You know who did that years ago? There was a gentleman that sat and figured out and did a graph, charted all this stuff out as to what the currency was valued at versus what gold and silver was valued at. And just for the inflation or the devaluation, 98% of that dollar, they figured it should be around about $8,500. Now, that's without the currency totally collapsing. A lot of people out there, still have this inflation idea in their head. You know, they go to the grocery store, they buy a house, they go get gas, this, that, and the other, and the prices are always going up. And in their minds, just to keep themselves comfortably stupid, comfortably numb, they just tell themselves, oh, it's inflation. Oh, that's something to be expected. That's just part of the game. No, they don't realize. And I do every damn time I buy something, a gallon of gas, a gallon of milk, I don't care what it is. When I look at anything, what immediately comes to my mind is devaluation of this stuff that I'm handing over to get that stuff.
Right. And you wish you would have got in on Bitcoin when it was 9 cents a share or 9 cents a piece, huh?
No, I don't.
Really?
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 Well, now, Jim, why does that surprise you?
Well, anyway, I'll let you go talk to somebody else.
Well, no, wait a minute. Now, you got a particularly evil laugh there, Jim. Why did you say that?
Well, because, I heard about Bitcoin on Max Kaiser on the Rush RT, and I thought, it sounds too good to be true.
Uh-huh.
And now, for 9 cents, if it's just $100 in that, nowadays would be worth, enough money that you would never have to even worry about money for the rest of your life.
What?
If you just put, when I first heard about Bitcoin, when it was 9 cents a Bitcoin,
yeah,
put $100 in there,
yeah,
nowadays that would be worth a huge amount of money.
Yeah. Well, equatable to what? What are they comparing it to?
That imaginary concept we have of U.S. dollar that varies from day to day.
And what I truly believe this might be, because right, look what it's doing with all the excess currency that's out there floating around, that useless stuff.
Softening it up and keeping the price of gold down.
Well, it does more than that. It conditions people. And like I said, inducement. People like bonuses. They like free stuff. They like stuff that's wildly unimagined. And my gosh, look at the windfall. This is what people look for their entire lives.
Right.
To hit the lottery, or a rich old uncle or an aunt dies and leaves you a pile
right
of money. Your problems are going to be solved overnight. We all wish that we had that pile of cash, that we could be comfortable with. But think of it this way. I don't give a damn if Bitcoin's 16,000 or 16 cents. If it keeps going up in value, that's an inducement. They got to put some glitter on it to attract the moths, you know, like moths to a flame. So I think this is nothing more than a very carefully thought out plan to go digital with the digital currency. So what if Bitcoin goes bye-bye? Okay, for people that put $1,000 in and they had some benefit off of it, yeah, so what? It went away like everything else does. So did they really lose? And they'll accept the next thing that comes along because they won't have a choice.
In America, we always have choice. That's why we think we're free.
Well, yeah, you got that right. All right, Jimbo, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right.
All right, bye.
Okay. You know, I mean, yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's worth $16,501 today. Ooh, okay. Now, that's a lot of glitter, isn't it? That's a lot of fanfare. By the way, did you post that Kentucky dude killing himself? Okay. Kentucky State Rep. Dan Johnson dies of self-inflicted gunshot wound in Mount Washington. Well, 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 well. Why? Because he was accused of fondling an underage girl. Now, this one happened to be 17. And in today's world, I don't think anybody thinks of a 17-year-old as being underaged. But for legal purposes, they will state that. Kentucky State Rep. Dan Johnson. Wonder if that's from Dan Johnson from Tampa Vice. Oh, that was Don Johnson from Miami Vice. Oh, I'm sorry. This guy was under investigation for the alleged sexual molestation. He died from a single gunshot wound to the head, according to the Bullitt County Coroner. How ironic. I know where Bullitt County is, folks. That's where the big machine gun shoot is twice a year. He was pronounced dead at around 8:20 p.m. yesterday. Bullitt County Sheriff Donnie Tinnell says Johnson drove to the bridge over the Salt River of Greenwell Ford Road in Mount Washington, parked on the north side of it, and shot himself in front of his car. His body was found on the bank of the river just past the bridge, just before 5 p.m. Wednesday. Now, Johnson posted the following message on his Facebook page. The accusations from NPR are false. God and only God knows the truth. Nothing is the way they make it out to be. America will not survive this type of judge and jury fake news. Conservatives take a stand. I love God and I love my wife, who's the best wife in the world. I guess that's why you want to leave, right? Bullet to the head. I know a little bit about bullets to the head. It's pretty final. Goes on to say, my love for her, my mom, my dad, my family, and all five of my children and nine grandchildren, two in tummies and many more to come. Each of you are a total gift from God. Stay strong. Rebecca needs you. And this was kind of weird. 9/11/2001, New York City World Trade Center, post-traumatic stress syndrome, 24/7, 16 years is a sickness that will take my life. I cannot handle it any longer. It has won this life, but heaven is my home. Please listen closely. Only three things I ask of you to do if you love me is blame no person. Satan is the accuser, so blame the devil himself. Oh, God. The guy puts a gun to his head and he's going to blame the devil? Seriously. Forgive and love everyone, especially yourself. I guess that'd be good advice to turn on yourself rather than a gun. Most importantly, love God. P.S. I love my friends. You are my family. God loves all people no matter what. Now, the coroner said police were alerted after someone saw the Facebook post. Officers then pinged Johnson's phone and found his body. On Tuesday, Johnson held a press conference at his church on Bardston Road, where he denied the molestation allegations, according to court documents obtained by the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting. The alleged molestation took place on New Year's Eve 2012. The alleged victim was a 17-year-old at the time. Told authorities that she was staying in a living area of the Heart of Fire City Church, where Johnson was the pastor. When Johnson, who had been drinking a lot, approached her, kissed her, and fondled her under her clothes. Michael Scholder, the president of Louisville Public Media, which owns the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, released a statement after Johnson's death. And, of course, we're all sorry and blah, blah, blah. Now, Johnson was never criminally charged on this. Now, folks, this has been my long-held contention. Yeah, it's now fashionable. An accusation is a conviction in a lot of people's minds. And I'll tell you what, you know, this whole thing about Roy Moore, do you actually think that if Roy Moore was not blackened with that he liked young girls, he would now be the senator from Louisiana? The other characters that you see in the news, Democrats, John Conyers resigning. If he didn't do anything, why the hell would he want to resign? It's been my long-held contention, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Get down, lay low, get out. Grab your hat and go, because it's going to get a lot worse. Do you think these guys are just one-hit wonders? Do you think they just grope and grab and, you know, at a moment of weakness or not being sober enough? Or is it a pattern with these people? You know, I just don't, you know, it's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful political weapon. Well, John, how you doing? I ain't seen you a long time. You're not beating your wife anymore, are you? Well, wait a minute. I never beat my wife in the first place. The implication is, you know, when did you stop beating your wife? The implication there is, well, you beat your wife at one time. Do you beat her anymore? Never beat my... That's a hell of a thing to level on somebody. And evidently it works. But the Harvey Weinsteins of this world, the Wieners of the world, the real people that think that they're something short of God Almighty themselves, have it in their head that they can do anything to anybody at any given time and there's no consequence. And I'm telling you, folks, it is my contention that these people that you're seeing resigning for public office, there's a whole lot more stuff in the closet ready to fall out on the floor for everybody to see. Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hello. I wonder if you'll discuss a little bit with me on replacing the Federal Reserve, and particularly on one you posted on the 11th. On, who is it? It's Eustace Mullins' book.
Mm-hmm. On the Secrets of the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he quotes in the introduction, which is down about the third page, and said that Thomas Jefferson had 8 different things to say about a national bank he wanted to establish, the incorporation of a bank.
I don't think it was Jefferson. I think that might have been Hamilton, wasn't it?
Well, it says here that it was Jefferson's opinion of the constitutionality of the bank.
Okay.
So, Eustace Mullins says, I consider the foundation of the Constitution, and he says, a step beyond the boundaries of the Constitution to suggest this kind of a bank. And I'm just wondering if the problem with the Federal Reserve is that there's no receipts behind the notes that are issued.
No, that's not the problem with the Federal Reserve. The problem with the Federal Reserve, Betty, is the interest. That's the problem with the Federal... Pardon?
That's an addition to it.
Well, okay, well, that's the major flaw. This is the giddy ha-has for the bankers.
Well, that's my point. You don't get the interest until you've issued the notes, and if the notes are issued without a receipt for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you're going to replace it because it falls of its own dead weight.
Well,
if you're going to have a receipt for something,
well, yeah.
You make a receipt for something as being something that the government owns.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Let's just say the replacement for the Federal Reserve notes happens to be the federal note or a federal dollar.
That's what I'm saying. That's on that. What's the difference between the Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve.
It's non-backed in both cases.
Yeah, but it's not backed. That would be.
I don't care about the interest if
okay.
you don't have
Betty,
a receipt.
Betty, you're gonna Betty, you're going to let me talk and answer your question or you're not. Which is it?
Yes,
Betty?
Bye.
Thank you. The difference would be you could switch out that currency almost immediately. You could put federal notes, suck in all the Federal Reserve notes right now, replace them with federal notes. That would stop this debt spiral that we're in because every dollar that's borrowed from the Federal Reserve private corporation for profit boys, the middlemen as I like to call them, it's interest. All the money that the government borrows, it sits there and it's ringing up what? It's ringing up interest payments. We could stop that right now by pulling that stuff out of circulation and replacing it with federal notes. Non-interest. Here is what you guys are going to use. This is what's going to be in your banks. This is what's going to be in your back pockets. This is what you're going to have stuffed under your mattress. Nobody gets to make any money off of it. It's just simply a standard or a gauge for goods and services. That's all that it would be. Now, eventually, to go back, Betty, to a gold and silver backed currency in my world, that
it's
would.
It's not gold, it's commodity.
What's commodity?
If it's a receipt for a commodity.
Well, that's those are your words. I don't know where you're going with this.
Well, you're jumping to the interest. You're not dealing with the origin.
Well, if you read
and
your...
If you replace another on back for the first one, what's the difference?
Betty, if you would have let me...
Second.
Okay, that's it. Pull her down. Betty, you're even going to let me answer the question, or you're not. I don't have a whole lot of time. I got Jeff Bennett coming up in 3 minutes, and I got one more caller trying to speed this along. I don't mean to upset you, ma'am, but you're constantly jumping in here and interrupting my train of thought. I'm not able to get my full explanation. And you know what? I already did. Charlie in Los Angeles, you're up. Hello, Charlie. Damn it. Charlie?
Yeah, John.
Yes.
You ever ask yourself, what are all these people resigning over what, a bunch of women accusing them of sexual misconduct? I mean, if I was frank, and I would say, well, you want me to resign, why don't you just wait till the next election? I think these people are being muscled. You know, this guy that you're talking about who apparently just committed suicide, you know, under the conditions, the way the political thing, the way the political atmosphere is, I would suspect he might have been murdered. I mean, Al Franken spends 80% of the year campaigning to get reelected, and all of a sudden he just rolls over and quits.
Yeah.
I think there's more going on here
than we're being told.
It ain't what we're seeing on TV.
Okay, I think I explained myself a little bit earlier. It's much worse than what's being presented. I think that people like John Conyers and people like Al Franken, they have done much worse. And I think it suggests to them that, hey, you know, you ain't no choir boy, and there's more people that are going to come forth. What are you going to do? You can minimize this stuff right now. You can get your hat on, get your butt out of town, or you can stand and fight it and have all the accusations, and maybe some of this stuff is going to be proven true. The thing that I didn't like...
Okay. I would say, John, then why don't you put them under oath in a deposition with the penalty of perjury and bring it on. I think what's going on here is not what we're being told. And they're stacking the Congress for their personal reasons, but they're not just quitting because a bunch of women are accusing them of sexual misconduct. There is other things going on here.
There very well may be, but I don't see it yet. And the first thing that hit me, Charlie, was looking at this and going, okay, you know, the guy that's hanging out on the street corner with a rubber raincoat on and nothing underneath it,
You know, that wasn't his first foray into pervinality, you know. It's the latest manifestation. But you may be right. I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense. If it's going to be wielded as a political tool, then why are the Democrats asking the Democrats to retire?
All I know is what they're being accused of isn't even against the law. And if you want to turn this around, just go into the workplace and start suing these women for sexual arousal. You see how they dress, and their tight leggings and their tank tops, not wearing a bra. And you're supposed to stand around there, you know. Turn this around. But this is a lot of BS. And I would just look at Vince Foster was committed suicide, right?
By his own hand, and then drug his dead body around. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right, Charlie, I have to run. I have to run. Thank you for your call.
Bye now.
All right. Jeff Bennett.
I think I'm here.
I think I hear a hum.
Do you hear a hum? Do you hear me?
What are you humming?
Oh, I'm not humming.
No, I actually hear a hum. You got a ground going on somewhere there.
Oh, goody. Oh, wait, I can take care of that. Hold on. I typically do that just before we go on the air. That may take care of it.
I just did.
Good.
Well, it's nice to know that you're humming that tune. You got an on and off switch.
Oh, that's right. My goodness.
By the way, I don't know if you heard anything about the what I was talking about on the air today, but I was talking about Mike Adams' deal on the cryptocurrency being created by the NSA to get people kind of comfortable with the idea of a cryptocurrency.
Well, that was pretty much the basis of my program Tuesday night. I melded Mike's stuff with some other stuff. Interestingly enough, I sent Mike an email because he had a link embedded in his article that was actually no good. And I acquired a proper link. Whether he sorted it out or not, I don't know. I do have that entire piece posted at Kettle Marine Precious Metals. So that's an up-to-date link and everything if anyone wants to go there and visit.
All right. Very, very, very good. Well, somebody asked me the other day, why is Bennett on your program? And I go, why is Bennett on the program? Well, to sell some gold and silver. That's why. And people seem to forget that I remember at one time we were doing two straight hours with Bob Chapman. And you would join and Robbie would be there. And, you know, Well, we don't have anybody repping for Republic Trading Group. You have maintained Kettle Moraine for all these years. When did you start that, by the way?
96.
Okay. That's been a few years. So
that was just before the Viking Group fell apart. We were forced to incorporate and do some things and for tax reasons, etc. Robbie was, I was, others that were working there. And a couple months later they folded and I never stopped.
Well, and Mike Callahan, wherever you are, thanks for that terrible thing. Well, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye, ain't it?
Yeah, right.
You know, that has stuck in my head all these years, and I find myself repeating this, and I'm going, my God, I hated it then, and I hate myself
saying it now.
I hate it now. More cowbell. Just give me more cowbell. Hey.
I know.
At any rate, folks, the reason why Jeff is here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, to sell some gold and silver. It's a good time to do it. What was silver at, 1580 or something today?
You know what? I've not looked for at least 4 or 5 minutes. Silver right now is at 1591.
Wow.
Gold at 1253. So gold's up, $5-6 from where it was a couple of days ago.
Well,
silver's up about 50 cents.
The point being that this is going to break wide. We've told people for a number of years it is still a buyer's market. The tangible, the real, put it in your hand. That's the stuff you can put under the mattress or lock in a safe. And somebody had asked me, Jim Caller just asked me, said, how did you come up with a calculation for $8,500 and that's what gold should be worth? Well, by simply graphing it out all these years, the devaluation of the dollar versus the original price. You already cut the last break? We'll cut the top of the hour break, and we'll just roll in here.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool.
Okay. So at any rate, He asked me, he said, what should silver be going for? I said, well, $200-$300 at least, I would think. Gold should be at $8,500 at least.
That's a pretty good